remember where I was. I'll just...
You mentioned Ephesians or something.
Yes, read Ephesians. Read Ephesians, because Ephesians talks about what was in times past, past tense, the tense of the verbs of what is, versus what is now, what is fulfilled now in Christ Jesus. And how did that happen? How did that transition happen? But God. It is of God. That's how that happened. If you can look at it this way as well. Someone brought up the thing of circumcision. I think it was Rabin with the question, circumcision. Right? Here you have you've got the Israelites, right? They went down to death. They're in Egypt. Here's the Red Sea crossing. Right? They just stepped out of the grave. They just came forth out of death. Right? Out of death. The Red Sea crossing. But then you've got this other crossing of a river that they have to make. It's called the Jordan. All the Jordan is an understanding of what took place, of who remains. It's also seen as circumcision. Circumcision is a Jewish custom, tradition, based on the sign of the covenant, as Amber had mentioned. But you circumcise a child on the eighth day, right? Yeah. Traditionally, it's the eighth day. In Jewish, the eighth day. Well, let's think about that. Our calendar has 7 days. Let me finish this one real quick. Our calendar has 7 days. The eighth day. The eighth day is a day that does not exist in time. A day that Christ himself is above time. The day that Christ himself is. Right? When this child is circumcised, right? The cutting away of the flesh. When he's circumcised, 8 days after birth, after coming into the new day, he doesn't know what happened, right? Totally ignorant of what's taking place. A child 8 days old knows nothing. Yay or nay? I don't remember things that far back, you know? In fact, I don't remember things too bad. What? No, don't make that comment.
Erase that comment.
Just kidding. 8 days old, a child does not know what just took place. What took place here, the cutting away, the circumcision, the cutting away of the flesh. Doesn't know what took place. Later on, it is the father's place to declare to the child what has taken place to them. To declare to them the reality that's there. The flesh has been cut away. The flesh is cut away. The child grows up into that understanding. For the born-again believer, the way that's declared, the way that understanding happens, is in the appearing of Christ. Not I, but Christ remains. And it's not that when Christ appears, it's not that, oh, I die now, and now Jesus is my life. No, that's not how it works. Remember the type that I showed you with the whole tabernacle and the brazen altar? No. Tabernacle, brazen altar, right here, brazen altar. It's not that we come to the cross to see ourselves dead, or to die. Excuse me. It's not that we come to the cross to die. We come to the cross and we see we are dead. I have had no life but Christ. I thought I had a life. There was one time I went off into La La Land. I was looking at the wrong man. I saw the wrong house. Things needed cleaning up. Things were in disarray. Things were not clean. And I was praying, Lord, I'll never forget it. Lord, you have to help me. Because this, look at this. I hate this, Lord. You got to help me with this. I was walking right by that board. Do they still have it? No, they don't have it. The check-in and outboard, do you know, it used to be right there, right on the other side of that door. I was walking by that, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke into my heart and said, who told you that you had a life? Who told you that you had a life? Basically, a life apart from me. Who told you that you had a life apart from me? Who told you? Who told you? Who bewitched you? Who beguiled you to make you think you had a life apart from who I am? Well, it was, these beguiled me, Lord. My own eyes. You say, Jesus healing that one blind guy. The Father, through Jesus, healing that one blind guy. You know, he comes over and he says, the Pharisees go on and say, or Jesus says, I am come into this world that they, that those who see, or that those who do not see, may see, and that those who do not see, or that those who see, may be made blind. Here come the Pharisees. Are we blind also? So long as you see, as you see, your sin remains. Therefore, or as long as you see, your sin remains, and you are blind unto him who remains. But I am come that you may be made blind, that you might truly see. You were going to say something.
I was going to say something about
certain
vision. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what you said, something that I've seen about that is just that Christ is the eighth day, you know, that he is that new creation, that's when the flesh is cut away, is when we come into that day. But also, something just an interesting fact is that that's the reason they do it on the eighth day, or, you know, as far as medically, is that that's when the immune system begins.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry, that's not right. The immune system is the strongest on the eighth day, as far as that first week, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. pretty weak. But the second thing is the blood doesn't clot before the eighth day. So if they have a wound,
oh wow!
But on the eighth day is when that, I think it's like vitamin K or something. It's some
kicks in.
That kicks in that allows their blood to clot.
Wow!
And I don't really know what's all going, but I know that
it's
essential.
Yeah.
And you know, doctors now will inject newborns with the vitamin necessary or whatever it is necessary to cause the blood to clot, so they can circumcise them right away.
Wow!
That's why it's not a big deal, but. But physically, there's a time and a season for that. I just think that's so cool in the Lord.
Wow. Yeah, that is cool. Speaking of time, with time clicking and ticking, the appearing of Christ, God's purpose for the soul. The soul was created for no other purpose but for the appearing of Christ. The verse, Acts 26:16, and he said unto me, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee, for I have appeared to thee for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this thy seeing me, and of thy seeing me hereafter. There has to be a continuation, a continuing. All right? Continuing on with that passage is what I want to read, Acts 26, still in the same chapter. Sorry about that. Correct, 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. All right. I was just looking them up, earlier this morning, just to see what it, in the concordances, and in different translations. And one translation says, from that time, when the life first appeared, when Christ first appeared, from that time, O King Agrippa, I have not been disobedient unto this heavenly vision, unto this appearing. From that time when he first appeared, I have not been disobedient to his appearing. Remember? In the which I will appear unto you. Where, how does it say again? To constitute thee a minister and a witness of this, thy seeing me, and of thy seeing me hereafter. Thy seeing me hereafter. I wasn't disobedient to the hereafter. And we can see it in the life of Paul. Christ still continues to appear in Paul. Right? Going on. I looked at the word disobedient. In the Strong's, it says unpersuadable. That is contumacious. Disobedient. Okay. In the Online Bible Greek Lexicon, not compliant, disobedient, contumacious. That word contumacious, I have no clue what it means. So I don't know if you guys do, but I had to look it up. So here's the Webster's 1828. It says, yielding, bending, yielding, yielding. There's something going on, and you may not be yielding to it. Right? Yielding means there's something going on. Yielding to request or desire, civil, obliging. Here it is, literally swelling against, haughty, hence obstinate. Get this one, perverse. This is perverse. All right, stubborn, inflexible, unyielding, disobedient, as a contumacious child, a disobedient child. and it goes on, obstinately stubborn. But I like that word yielding. From that time of his first appearing, O King Agrippa, I was not yielding to this appearing. I yielded to this appearing. I, bending, yielded. I gave way to this appearing. See, he will take that which is of mine and shall show it unto you. He will take, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will take that which is mine and shall declare it unto you. He shall show it unto you. He shall show it unto you. That's the job, the work of the Holy Spirit. Not to show you something you don't have, but as Rabin said, to reveal what is there. He will take what is mine and openly disclose it unto you, openly show it unto you that it's always been there. That's his work. That's what we must yield to. He wants to reveal Christ. Yield unto that. That's the purpose. It's not, oh Lord, help me to go do this, or oh Lord, help me to continue to do this. Remember, as I said, any time, usually, I would say, that there is great turmoil in our soul, we're probably looking at the wrong man or the wrong house. And see, God will not begin the extreme makeover on this house. There is no makeover for this. He will not begin working on a house that's decrepit. In fact, he will not work at all. He's finished his work. The house is built. Anytime there's turmoil in our soul, unrest, upheaval, we are probably looking at the wrong house or the wrong man.
Yes. I should say that I was just thinking that the old man is like a building that's been totally obliterated. It's knocked down. The foundations are destroyed. And you're looking back at that and you're going, there's no walls. Where's the walls? Something's not working. And you're trying to hold up the walls of, you know, with the broken wood, and all that's not going to ever get put back together. It's no matter how many nails you find in the rubble, it's
perfect.
Rubble.
It's rubble. It exists right here in your memory, in your understanding, in your memory. Oh, I love that. Oh, I lose my memory. Praise God. I love losing my memory. It's a memory of literally a life that wasn't yours. It was somebody else's. Before that time, Christ was not your life. now, but God, now Christ is your life. You hid it in the rubble, looking for it. Another thing the priests did, they would burn. I love it. They'd take the sacrifice, come into the temple, slit its throat, cut it up into chunks, you know, put what's going to be put on the altar, take out what's not going to be, you know, burned. They would burn on that brazen altar till everything was ashes. Burn it till ashes. And then they'd take the ashes. What was it? What was this? It's all ashes. I can't figure out what it was. What was this? I can't figure out what it was. What life was this? What existence was this? I don't know what it was. That's what the Lord does. Exactly. This right here, in His mind, He knows it no more. Now, let it be buried out of our sight. Our sight. And it's not our natural sight. It's this one right here. 1 second. Yeah.
And then the ashes are removed.
Bingo.
And I love that because it's like you can't even, there's not even any glory in the fact that, oh, I've been reduced to ashes. Hey, you know, look, it's just ashes. You know, it's like, no, there's not even any ashes to remind you.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
And it's out of the camp. It's out of the camp. And who remains? The high priest. Who is Christ. He's the one who remains. God forbid that I should glory in nothing say except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I am crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto me. In another part, but it is of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who is made unto you wisdom, righteousness, redemption, forgiveness of sins, that, I know I'm misquoting it, but it's something along those lines, that as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Why? He's the only one who remains. The only one who remains. Yes, your question.
You know, there's some places in between the spiritual transference of guilt and of sin. There's a how is that? You know, when you'll see it no more. You know, and you don't see it no more. Is that like you just wake up and this thing is gone? Don't get me wrong. You know, I mean, I've experienced things that are no longer a part. But, you know, when you read it and, how does it happen? I mean, is it just a miracle or something? I mean, you wake up one day and this, God remembers it no more. And so does that mean that I automatically don't remember this sin anymore?
All right.
Is there something that I'm missing here? It'll take me longer to get it or something? Or
it is a miracle.
Do you have it and you
it is a miracle of God.
It.
It is a miracle of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, see, sin. Let's redefine sin. Okay. Sin isn't what I do. Sin is the man I am. Sin is separation from God. He no longer remembers it no more because his son hath put it away in the cross, buried out of his sight. The exact same words of Abraham, give me a plot of land that I might bury my dead out of my sight. Did he? Yes, gone, buried, never to be seen again. Ours, what happens, we have the wrong man in view, so we raise the dead. We necromance, which is an abomination to God. All right? And then you weren't here, and I love it. The chick track. The chick track. Did you ever read Chick Tracks? This Was Your Life?
No.
Well, I read it. By the end of it, I was condemned because it said, have you ever? Then you're going to hell. Have you ever done this? Then you're going to hell. You need salvation, right?
Random tracks, not a girly
track. Yeah. Oh, sorry. They're called chick tracks. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
it's a brand of tracks. I guess that could sound weird if no one knows about chick.
Well, I was thinking it was some sort of music.
Oh, it's like these tracks that were real condemning tracks. Very condemning. Because what they do, they focus on a person and keep them looking at the wrong man. If you have done this, look what you did, look what you thought, look what you're thinking, blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on. All right? One day the Lord said, because I looked at it, it says, this was your life. And the Lord said, yes, this was. Ephesians 2. Read Ephesians 2. This was, in times past, what was. And that wasn't actually life at all. It's what you thought was your life. That was just existence. Your life is Christ. Your life is Christ. The whole guilt thing, condemnation thing, because seeing sins and stuff and all that.
Yeah.
That is done away with in the appearing of Christ. There's a verse, and I won't read the whole thing. I'll just quote a part of it. It says, basically, the man will be destroyed in the brightness of his coming. It's this one. It's that which is not Christ. Or it's this right here, that understanding that we think still exists. Because this understanding is based, this understanding of a child is based on a man that is antichrist. And what's antichrist? Is, yes, against Christ, but it's just not Christ. If it's not Christ, it's antichrist. Just, I mean, we put degrees on death. But this one, if there's two corpses there, that one's not any more dead than that one. Yeah, but he just died 3 days ago and he was been dead for 20 years. They're dead. It's us who put a degree on things. Black is black. If it's not life, it's death. If it's not light, it's darkness. So all that is just put away in his appearing. Oh, there's a verse in the Bible. Oh, I love it. In the Old Testament, I'm not going to be able to fully quote it, but you could jot down little bits of this and try to search it out. It talks about something like, and the Lord's going to come and your eyes will melt in their sockets and your tongue will fall out. And I mean, that's some scary stuff in the religious mind. But it's some glorious thing when the Lord appears, because your eyes, your view, your natural view of this that the Lord has put away will melt in your sockets. And I said in that verse, I came that those who say they see may be made blind. And those who say I am blind may be made to see. Your view will melt right in the sockets of your mind, you know, in your skull. And your tongue that declared what you saw, it's going to fall out as well. Destroyed. Who remains? Christ remains. It's always not I, but Christ. Because Christ remains. When Christ appears, the face of God, Peniel, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved, and my life is snatched away, he remains. He always remains. I know that our hearts, like I said, the foundation must be laid. Our souls go like this. Whatever time, wherever the Lord has you, he desires to lay that foundation in your soul, that foundation which is Christ. The foundation is laid in the appearing of Christ. We looked at the verse where Peter says, or where Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the anointed of God. Well, praise God. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto you, Peter, but my Father hath revealed who I am. My Father hath revealed the Son. And I say unto you, blah, blah, blah. And upon this rock, upon this stone, upon this foundation, because the verse goes on later on, we'll take a look at it here in a second. I will build my church, right? Upon this statement, I will build, upon this foundation, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, because I have prevailed against the gates of hell. Remember, Joseph rose up in Egypt, second in command to Pharaoh. Jesus, 118. Let's see if I'm right. Revelation, I think it's 118. I can't be wrong. Oh, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Victorious. the gates of hell shall not prevail. Then in that passage where the Lord is saying that, it's a different passage. This is in Luke 6, and it's talking about trees and stuff, but he goes on to say, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Don't get condemned by that passage. Like, oh no, I'm not doing the word, or I'm not da-da-da. You're not supposed to. If you are doing anything, then you are breaking Sabbath. If you are doing anything, then you're breaking Sabbath. And once again, in the Old Testament, what is the penalty of breaking Sabbath? Death. He brings you to the cross. Not so you can die, so you can see, I am crucified already. We hit on it the other day. Jacob, I might have mentioned it even earlier. Jacob, the rock, he sleeps, and then, you know, the ladder and the angels going up and down, and wakes up. Surely this is the house of God. God was in this place, and I knew it not. He brings our understanding, once again, as I said, like the crossing of Jordan, back to what, it's just an understanding of what has already taken place in the cross. In the cross. How do I have life? Death, burial, resurrection. Because Christ has come to the cross, and in the cross you are able now to receive life, where if he had not gone to the cross, all mankind would have remained in this state of perpetual death, never having the ability to have life. Question or comment?
I had a comment. I was just thinking, in kind of spurred on by what Robert was saying, like, how do you do that? How does that happen? You know, how does it work? And I was thinking that, you know, it can get confusing when you say, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not supposed to work, or, you know, I'm supposed to seek, and I'm supposed to... But I think of the blind man who was sitting and not able to do anything, but he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. He called out.
Yeah.
That was faith.
Yep.
He believed that he could see. If he could get to the Lord, he could make it through. Yeah.
I call it bust a move. time to bust a move. And here's what it is. I'll just tell a quick story. Well, not a quick story, I'll just read it. But it's all that work that you're talking about. All it is this right here. The heart turning to see the Lord. And as Rabin hit on it, it's whenever. Whenever the heart turns to see the Lord, the veil is removed. I used to think, and I'll use this example, I used to think that, because I grew up in a religion, like I said, I really didn't grow up. The times that I went to church, it was a religion where based on works. And I won't give the name because you probably already know what it is. But you had to get on your knees and you had to go from one spot to another just to, you know, be able to pray. That's some crazy stuff. I'm not mentioning any names, you know. That's some crazy stuff, okay? And I used to think that I had to go through some wild loop till I could, you know, in my heart, come to the Lord or something. But I'll use this example of David. He prayed for a child that the Lord had struck. And David's thought was, in David's mind and in David's view, in David's eyes, as long as the child is breathing, who knows? But once he became aware that the child was dead, what did he do? This is after he sinned with Bathsheba, right? He screwed up. This is like the king, you know, not just like one of us screwing up. This is the king screwing up, you know, this is major stuff. What did he do? He's on his face praying and weeping. He won't even go in. You know, he's got sackcloth and ashes. He will not go in. The second he finds out the child is dead, his servants were afraid to tell him. It's like, man, if he's like this, he's going to fly off the handle when we let him know what's gone on. The child is dead. The child is dead. That's how the child is put away. He's put away in death. When the man appeared, I saw that the child was put away. What does David do? Stands up, dusts his feet off, right inside and worships the Lord. How long does it take? How long does it take? How much do we have to, like Samuel? Samuel, why waste your time on Saul? I have rejected him. Fill your horn with oil and anoint him who remains. Right? Why waste your time praying, weeping for Saul, Samuel? Here, Samuel. How long will you remain? How long will your heart be focused on what I have rejected? How long will your heart be trying to get that which I have rejected to be pleasable to me, to be godly, to be more like me? I've rejected him. How long? Right? As long as you want it to take, really. It's us. However long. Whenever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Go. Quit that. Drop that. Stop that prayer. That prayer is no good. Don't pray for that man. That prayer is no good. I don't hear that prayer. I can't answer that prayer. I've rejected him. I can't answer that prayer. You're praying for a man, for a house that I've rejected. I cannot answer that prayer. Now, fill your horn with oil. Get ready, because I'm about to show you the anointed of the Lord, the one who remains, the anointed, the Christ, the risen Christ. The heart turns to the Lord. The veil is removed. The veil is removed, just like that. Raven.
Yep. I just want back. You know, you're answering this question, and I wanted to say something more on this question. When did this happen? You know, the verses that we've already looked at during the time was when to those who look for Him, Hebrews 9:28. He shall appear, and it's this appearing Jimmy's talking about. It's the appearing of the Lord within the soul. But here's what it says is beautiful. He appears without sin.
Appears without sin. Oh, okay.
He appears with no reference to who I was at all.
Amen.
His appearing is not with reference to what he's put away, because he's already put away.
Yeah.
To him, there's another agenda now.
Yes.
And it's to appear as the salvation, because it goes on, without sin, unto salvation. In other words, he does not appear with reference to who I was. He appears as the salvation of my soul.
Brother, we need to hear that.
Yeah. And
all throughout the...
And what that goes back to is the appearing of the high priest on the Day of Atonement. It's the very same context. Mm-hmm. During his work, when he's doing the atonement work, he's not wearing these clothes that have the breastplate and all the regalia on there that show his union with Israel to them. That's for them to see. God already sees this. But he has blood on him because of the sacrifices and all the things. Now, when he goes behind the veil, he washes himself. During that day, he washes himself 10 times to go behind the veil. Because he can't go back there with blood on him, but he does sprinkle the blood on the ark to say, this is a done deal. As it is, let it be so in earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's done. He's completed it. Now, to them, during this day, it's a Sabbath day, so they can do no work. They can't work here in this day.
Praise God.
So he's behind the veil, but to their eyes, and they're all gathered there waiting on him to finish this work. Well, he's behind the veil, and they can't see him with their eyes. They can't see what's going on. So he's back there behind the veil, and he finishes the work. He washes himself again. And he comes out with now the garments of beauty and glory, as it's called. Which has the breastplate with all of Israel on his chest. They're in union with their high priest now. no sign now, because he's washed himself, no sign of the blood of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
No sign of the sacrifices of the dead. He comes out now as their salvation. And it's when they see him, they know the work's finished. They know that sin is done away with. And they know he's now appeared as their salvation. Yeah. And until he appeared, their salvation did not truly appear to them in their midst.
But, you know, I understand that. I mean, I understand it because of what you just said. But, you know, in my head yesterday, this is the truth. Going through my head was from the north to the south to the east and the west, I give you rest.
Yeah.
And I just had rest in that yesterday.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what God was talking about.
Well, that's it.
You know what I'm saying? But I heard it. And, you know, I believed in it. And now I get, you know, I got it. You know, I got it. God's
is
great.
Is there anything wrong with the risen Christ?
Can't be.
Nothing.
Can't be impossible.
In him there is no sin.
Hallelujah.
In him there is no sin whatsoever. Just as Rabin hit it.
Yeah.
In him there is no sin.
Yeah.
When he appears, who remains? He remains. There is no sin. He must appear. And when we see that, it's when he appears, he remains. The whole process thing, it's however
it's
long it takes. It's however
the
long it takes. That stuff.
Me to,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That,
there's like I said, when
right.
I grew up
yeah.
as a kid, they ran me through a process to get
yeah.
to God.
Yeah.
Hey, whenever your heart turns, you know, David gets
yeah.
up, dusts his
yeah.
stuff off, man. Forget this. I'm done with this thing. I'm going in.
Yeah.
I'm going to see the Lord. And he did. Face to face, the tabernacle of David. No, all the other stuff, just the ark, man. I'm there with him. I do want to read these last passages because we have run out of time. This is 2 Kings chapter 7, 3 through 4. This is four lepers, right? If you will, the unclean. The unclean. The ones with the view of an unclean, all right? If at any moment your heart is viewing what the Lord hath put away, yes, it is unclean. Hey, you can be stuck there if you want. You don't have to be. That's your own doing. The Lord is continually working on your heart, the Holy Spirit, to cause your heart to turn. That's all He does. Cause your heart to turn, that He might reveal His Son, that the veil might be taken away. It's on our heart. It's not on Him. He has no veil. He is unveiled. All right? And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Basically, why sit we here until we die? Until we finally are put away in the grave. Yes.
What was the passage again?
2 Kings 7, 3 through 4. If that's not what your Bible said, then I wrote the passage down wrong.
You got it right.
Okay.
If
we say we will enter... Okay, during this time, they're basically doing an ambush on the city, and they can't get out. They've surrounded the city, and everyone's in there, and it's getting bad. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Right? Now, therefore, come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if not, they kill us, and we shall but die. You have nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose. Literally, you literally have nothing to lose. You don't have to come to a place of desperation, but if you come to a spot where it's like, I'm stuck. If I do this, I lose. If I do this, I lose. Yielding. Oh, I love it. Yielding, the word yielding. I was not unyielding. I was not yielding to this vision. I yielded to this appearing of Christ. I yielded to His appearing in me and unto His appearing to me hereafter. I was yielding. And if there's any time, the questions are, Lord, how do I do this? Or Lord, how does this happen? The best prayer, or I don't want to say the best prayer because I don't want to leave it with that and you think that's the only prayer you pray. A good prayer would be, Lord, I have no clue how this happens. I have no clue what my part is, but I'm trusting you. Amen. That you know. And if I have to do anything, you will guide me and let me know what I need to do. I know your part is to help that my heart would turn. I don't even know how to turn my heart. Maybe I have no clue how to turn my heart, but you know how to turn my heart. You know, because it is a miracle of God. This is not in my hands. This is in your hands. You do this. I do not do this. This is not my work per se. This is your work. If it were my work, I could glory in it. Right? But this is your work. And you love this work. You love showing your son. You love revealing your son. You love showing the object of your affection. Amen. So I love the way Reuben said it. I don't know, but you do. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I desire to see your son. I desire that my heart should turn. If my affection is somewhere else, Lord, cause my heart to turn unto you again. And you'll find it in the passage of 2 Kings, or maybe it's 1 Kings, I can't even remember at this point, with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. The Lord turned their hearts unto him again. I love that. He's the one who's faithful to his son. He's the one. And it is in the appearing of Christ that we know Christ. Seeing is believing. Seeing is faith. With Thomas, blessed are those, listen to this, blessed are those who have not seen with the natural eye. Blessed are those who have not seen with the natural eye, but have faith, because the sight that they have seen is with the heart. Faith is the substance of that which is hoped for and was hoped for. The evidence of things of that which cannot be seen with the natural eye, of that which is not seen. If you look at that word seen, it refers to the natural senses that Reuben hit on, the natural eye. You can't see this with the natural eye. See, this man, if you look at your diagram, this one with his child understanding right here sees with the natural eye. That's not faith. That's not faith. The one who has the understanding of the Son sees because the heart has turned to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The veil has been removed because the heart has turned. Therefore, he sees. It's all about knowing the Lord. It's all about knowing Christ. And that knowing only comes by his appearing. If you do not see, you do not know. And it's not just a know or a see and then I'm good and done for. Or that's it. No. And he said unto me, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this, thy seeing me, and of thy seeing me hereafter. It's that simple. It's that simple. We complicate it. That is the purpose of God for the soul, that Christ may appear where he is, that he may that the covers be removed, unveiled to see that which has always been there. I wish we had more time, and we are past time at this point. We did Raven and I, we did want to pray for those here, because the more we the more we come to see the Lord, the more we come to know that this is what it's all about. There's nothing else. If you do other things, praise God, you do other things, but it is the seeing of Christ that brings about the knowing of Christ. Paul said, that I may know him, that I may know him, that I may be found in him, that I may be found where I am. So we just wanted to pray for you guys before we leave.